Okay, I'm gonna call this back to order then. Hope you enjoyed lunch, I certainly did. First item on the agenda is the correction and approval of minutes. Minutes were completed in a timely fashion. I think they had a few bumps on their way to being posted on the website, but I think they've been up long enough that we can call for a motion for corrections. Are there any corrections to the minutes for September 23rd? Okay. Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye. Let's try again. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and that is carried and the minutes are approved. Now we will turn to reports from standing committees, from Rights and Responsibilities. Jason Holt. When you guys come up, be careful on the steps. They will betray you.
Okay, well, in Rights and Responsibilities, we've worked on two things today. First is related to our upcoming motion that will be voted on today concerning the mid-year hire, tenure and promotion timeline. So we're currently working on updating the faculty manual to include dates for all procedures in our timeline. As I mentioned last time, in the faculty manual, there are dates listed by which certain things must be done, but those dates only apply to those hired in the fall semester. So we're trying to include dates which, you know, will before those people hired in the second semester. We've about got it done, and we should have something to present next time in the way of a motion. However, we did run into a few little snags that gave us pause. So we had originally intended to put something forward to everybody today, but that will have to wait until next time. The second item that we discussed today was the issue of summary of teaching evaluations in the as part of the third year review. This semester, we had several at our campus going up for third year review, and there was some confusion as to whether or not it was required, a summary of teaching evaluations was required for that third year review. There is language in the faculty manual suggesting that, in fact, it is. I'll read, for example, off of page 13 of our 2016 faculty manual. It says, third year review files will not be subject to external review, but all other local campus tenure and promotion procedures apply, which that seems to suggest that it is a local procedure. But in the very first sentence of that same paragraph, we have, in the third year of appointment, all untenured tenure track faculty will prepare a file according to the Palmetto College campus's faculty manual guidelines. So it's a little bit conflicting. There's some, seems almost contradictory there. So we discussed this, how to resolve this issue. The senators from Rights and Responsibilities are going to take this back to our campuses to kind of gauge interest in possibly removing the summary of teaching evaluations altogether for the third year review. That is basically what we discussed in our meeting. You're welcome. Any questions? Do I need to take?
Any questions for Jason?
I can take questions.
Okay, and please remember that if you are presenting a report today, to submit that report to the Secretary, Brian Love. That would be appreciated. Next, we'll go to welfare, Hélène Malafelli. Oh, she's right behind me.
Okay, so welfare committee met, of course. The tenure and promotion workshop, we put the final touches, it's ready to go. You will soon receive an email for registration. Make sure you do register, and even if you're a guest and coming and present during the TNP workshop, we appreciate that, by the way. But you do need to register as well. Regarding the awards, first the committee wanted to apologize for the communication glitch that we had, and we're aiming for more transparency in the future. All nominations are due December 1st. You can email that directly to me. Right after that, I will contact the nominees and distribute the guidelines. And the files are due January 31st, since the committee will deliberate on February 10th, I think, is the next Senate. Regarding the other charge that came to us with the salary report and salary inequity, we're continuing to work on that charge to address that particular inequity. We've gathered data so far about how salaries are determined. We have data about the salaries within the Palmetto College system, also comparing with peers and aspirational institutions. So we're still working on that. We will have some substantial recommendation on how to address the issue soon to come. The welfare survey is up for this year, so we have the survey almost ready. It will be, as usual, confidential. It will be up by January 2nd. I will send out a link for you all to take the survey. And I think that's it.
Any questions?
Questions? No questions.
Thank you, Hélène. And from System Affairs, Kyle Dragoshroy. No, I'm just going to stand up here behind you. I'm going to sit here. I'll be non-threatening.
Thanks, Gene. We have very little to report today. So we worked on three items. The first one was still working on the removal of the UCAM and the RCAM courses. We have feedback from Sumter and Lancaster campuses, and we have put together a final list of courses that are to be kept, retained, or to be deleted. And we are going to send this back to academic deans on each campus for a final review. And once they go through it, in spring 2017, we are going to bring it to the Senate floor. The second item we had was a carryover from Andy Ying's ad hoc committee that looked at the course climate survey last year, and we continued to review it this year. We are done with our review, and we are going to send it back to each campus FO to review. So please pay attention to that. You're going to see a huge number of questions on that list, really huge. Please go through it with your FO. We are suggesting some of you might want to test it out in class and have a feedback from your students. You know, things like, can they understand the question? Can they respond to it correctly? Are they reading what you intended to be? But yourself, also, please do look through. Remember, these will be ending up on your tenure and promotion file. So these are very, very important questions for you to review. And once that's done and we hear the feedback, we're going to bring it back to the Senate floor in spring 2017. The last item we had was creating the Palmetto Core. So we were charged with creating a core that can be extended to all two-year degrees. So right now, you all know we have AA and AS degrees, which follow the Carolina Core. But we do have other two-year degrees on various campuses, and we wanted to extend the core to them. So essentially, this is what we have done. We have scaled back the Carolina Core to fit two-year degrees. We have made sure that these are all met by AA and AS degree programs and adopted by them already. And we will suggest that these be now adopted by the rest of the two-year degrees. A few things that this will help with, it's going to help share common requirements among all the degrees, so it's going to simplify assessment in future, and sharing of the common requirements will also better prepare our students for moving up the system inside our own USC system. And it's also going to give it more accessibility. So for example, when students look up Carolina Core, they have to go to sc.edu's Carolina Core page and look it up, which not all of our students know how to do. When this becomes a Palmetto College Core, it will be linked to or be available on the Palmetto College page, and it can be put on each campus website as well, so our students can access it better. I can show you the rough draft. It's very rough right now. Again, we are sending this to FO on each campus to tear it apart and bring it back again, and we hope to give you the final version for your adoption and approval in spring 2017. Yeah.
Question, Bunder Klangster. When you say you're going to ask for the Senate's approval for that Palmetto Core, what's the value of a Senate's approval of that, considering the local campuses still control the curriculum?
It will be adopted by the Senate. It has to be adopted by the Senate because it's going to be, mandated for all two-year degrees under the Carolina Core.
The Senate doesn't have authority, though, to mandate curriculum to the local campuses.
The curriculum is already decided by the Carolina Core, right?
No.
Andy?
The Senate has authority to mandate what type of courses they will approve. Right now, if any campus came up with a degree of all PE courses, the Senate would say no. This is an opportunity to be more specific about what types of degree should be acceptable.
So this is only going to then be something we worry about with courses that are created in the future?
The wording of the motion when it comes up will be something along the lines of this Senate will approve courses if they include these degree terms. Two-year degrees that are controlled solely by a two-year campus should include this. And it may be you have softer language about this as a recommendation and not a requirement.
Does that answer your question?
For now.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for System Affairs?
As a committee, I would like to thank Andy for his very hard work on the Palmetto Core and the class climate questions. Thank you.
No, you were thanked. It was very gracious. Thank you, Kajal. Okay, for the report from Executive Committee, we're going to hear from Chris Sixter-Reinhardt.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Executive Committee only has two announcements. We are thinking about the possibility of eliminating or making the faculty assembly a biannual possibility, so we'll be looking at that at the next Executive Committee meeting. Second announcement is that Stephen Criswell, Associate Professor of Native American History, has been placed on the Courses and Curriculum Committee. Any questions? Thank you.
And I want to thank Ernest Jenkins for being involved in that effort. That was the committee absence where we've been hurting because of Robert Castleberry leaving it. And So it was great to have somebody step forward, and I know that you were involved with that. Thank you, Ernest. Okay, up next we have the Faculty Manual Liaison Officer, Andy Yingst.
I'll briefly recap the motions coming down the pipeline. From last time, we have the motion about reducing the number of senators. That's going to be brought up as unfinished business today. We have two items from new business that I'll be presenting on behalf of the executive committee, a motion to make factual corrections to the faculty manual and a motion to remove the title of executive vice chancellor and vice provost. There will also be another new motion coming next time about reorganizing the appendices and making it more clear which ones are informative and which ones are prescriptive. And that is all.
Any questions? Thank you, Andy. Committee on Libraries, is Rebecca Freeman here? Do you have a report?
I don't have a report.
Okay, thank you. For curricula and courses, standing in for Stephen Criswell, Chris Bondrick. Back and forth there, Chris.
All right. Stephen Criswell couldn't be here today to give this report and asked me to give a very short report. As you just heard, he's our new representative on courses and curricula. he has been unable to arrange to be at the meetings yet, but will be attending the Monday, November 14th meeting as our representative, at which the committee will be making decisions on over 170 proposals. Some of them of interest to the regional campus faculty, including those recent changes to the BLS tracks that we approved during the last Senate meeting. Stephen asks that you feel free to contact him if you have questions or issues concerning courses and curriculum. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. All right, for the Committee on Faculty Welfare, Professor Shelley Jones.
Okay, the Columbia Faculty Welfare Committee continues to explore options to fully fund the faculty staff dependent scholarship and options for parity among departments and units for summer salary compensation. New items brought by faculty before the committee include retention of email addresses for retired faculty and a potential collaboration on a PACWI initiated survey on parental leave and breastfeeding policies. In the October meeting, Columbia Faculty Senate Chair Augie Grant joined the meeting in order to present the findings of the ad hoc committee formed by request of the Columbia Faculty Welfare Committee after its survey of full-time non-tenure track faculty uncovered serious dissatisfaction, particularly among the Columbia campus non-tenure track faculty. The ad hoc committee released a set of five recommendations, which I've appended and will send to Brian, and which will be discussed and voted on in Columbia's Faculty Senate in the spring. Dr. Grant also resolved the faculty concern with optional retirement plan fees brought to the committee's attention this summer. So there have been no additional fees. PIBA is working to be more transparent, so faculty are now seeing amounts reported for these ongoing fees. Any questions?
Trustees liaison is Henny Van Bulk, who cannot be with us today. Is anybody reporting? I have not heard if they are. So we have no report. Okay, for that item. Oh goodness, Chris Sixter Reinhardt, we're gonna pull you back up here for RPS. All set?
All right, hello again. Just a little bit for RPS. Please consider websites, faculty. I know I sound like a broken record, but please, whether it's teaching, scholarship, or service, we only have like six up there. I had a conversation with someone the other day who told me she was scared to put something up there on teaching or service, so please, I don't know if there are any FO chairs here, but please be nice to have people to showcase. Speaking of which, Dr. Ray McManus and Mr. Randy Ivey were the two featured scholars for RPS this semester. Please go look at the website and see everything that they've been working on. And I have also been updating and revising our websites with grants, any type of opportunities for getting scholarship money, etc. If you see anything, please email me. If you want anything on there, please email me. sixstepmailbox.sc.edu. Any questions? Thank you.
And because we do not have Dr. Nesmith with us, we're going to pull Shelley Jones back up here to give the report for Academic Advisory Council.
The new BLS tracks proposal approved at the last Senate meeting has been sent to the Columbia Curricula and Courses Committee, where it will be considered this month, as Dr. Bundrick just brought to our attention. And the second item here is the committee is considering two new track proposals for the BLS, Legal Studies and Entrepreneurship, and we'll be sending these to System Affairs for consideration at the February Senate meeting, along with new course proposals for special topics and independent study. Any questions?
Thank you. Do we have a report from the Conflict of Interest Committee? Okay, so no report. Okay. Thank you for those reports. Again, please remember that if you do give a report, to send a copy of that report to the Secretary, Brian Love, as soon as you can. That's going to help him get the minutes ready and up on time. So we move to unfinished business, and the first three, I want to say, is that correct? All coming from rights?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And do you want to come up here then, Jason, and talk us through these?
So the first motion we have here is to include, currently it's not included as an example of service, the advising. So our committee would like to propose adding advising as a particular category of service.
Okay, coming from committee, it needs no second. Do we have discussion about this motion? Hearing none, we can move to vote for the addition of advising as an example of service. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion passes.
Okay, so our second motion that we would like to bring up is the motion to strike advising from the teaching responsibilities section in the Palmetto College campus faculty manual. And the rationale again is, since each Palmetto College campus understands the value of teaching responsibilities differently, it is best to allow each individual to define the way advising fits into faculty evaluation. Removing language about advising from the list of teaching responsibilities will enable individual candidates for tenure or promotion to address advising duties in ways that best reflect their responsibilities. Yeah. Okay, so the summary of proposed revisions: strike the item concerning advising in the teaching responsibilities section of the current manual. This is item 6, page 48.
Okay, so this is the sort of corollary to the first motion, but we thought we should separate them, keep it nice and clean. Is there any discussion about this motion? Sam Downs, Saukahatchee.
I just want to remind everybody that I still feel that by removing it from teaching and making it service, that tends to be optional. Okay. Removing a responsibility that is ours. And if we truly want to leave it up to the faculty member to choose where they put it,
we can have it as an example of teaching or as an example of service, and then they truly do get to choose one. Do they see it as part of their teaching or do they see it as part of their service?
Thank you, Sam. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing no further discussion, we can move to the vote. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
The ayes have it, motion passes.
Okay, and our third motion of the day is our motion concerning the tenure and promotion process timeline for mid-year hires. There is something that I would like to say before presenting this motion. There was a question brought up on through email about the compensation timeline. You know, we have a tenure and promotion timeline, but upon receiving tenure and promotion, what is the compensation timeline? I spoke to our human resources officer at Lancaster about this issue. So according to our timeline, the Board of Trustees will make the final decision no later than December 22nd they do meet in December, so this is not an issue. Our human resources officer said that she only needs, a final vote by the end of the month. And she typically needs about 3 weeks turnaround to make this happen. So if a candidate receives tenure and promotion, as long as it says that they are tenure and promotion by the spring semester, it's about a 3-week turnaround, so there should be no issue on having that pay raise put in effect. And if there is an issue, it is easily retroactively applied. So I wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, so regarding the change to the process timeline, tenure process timeline, is there any discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion, we can move to the vote. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Jason. And the last item under unfinished business is the manual revision coming from Executive Committee to proportionately reduce number of senators. And Jean's going to get that up for us, I believe. Thank you, Jean. There you go. Nice job. So you're looking at the Partners in Crime for that manual revision, but like I said before, we're trying to respond to a couple of things that faculty has indicated that it wants on the, they've indicated on the Faculty Welfare Survey and other places. Let's go ahead, because I'm very keen to hear from you. Is there discussion for this revision? Oh, please. Chris Bundrick.
Bundrick, Meister. I have two concerns about this motion as it stands. I want to begin by saying that in principle and in theory, I'm very much in favor of what this motion is aiming toward. But I think that there are other sections of the manual that sort of rely on the idea that campuses are sending 3, 6, 9 senators. And I think a motion that doesn't account for those other sections is going to lead to ambiguities about responsibilities or distribution of senators. So I think, in a sense, this is
incomplete in that it hasn't really thought all the way through the ripples that this change will create.
Let me pause you for just a moment because I want to make sure that we got that correctly for the minutes. If we reduce the numbers, we are reducing the intended efficaciousness across the different committees. Is that correct?
I'm saying there are other sections of the manual that deal with things beyond the subcommittees that begin from the assumption that we're going to have the current headcount that we have and the current formula that we have for that population.
Do you have any examples of that?
The only one that I wrote down is from the standing rules on page 94, which deals with grievance. I didn't mark the section very well, but from a very quick look, I thought I saw one or two sections of the manual at least that would leave us with some ambiguous ideas.
Okay.
Just in terms of the language of the manual and the expectations of senatorial workforce, let's say.
Okay. And your second thing.
My second concern is that I think leaving the option for the smaller campuses to bring two or three, frankly, puts the larger campuses at a marked disadvantage. I think that you know the motion is talking about this sort of reduction across the board, but from a purely self-serving perspective, what this motion would do, I think, is reduce the percentage of representation that a campus like Sumter or a campus like Lancaster would have, without at all affecting the representation that a campus like Extended or Union might have, which is you know not to say that there's some nefarious plot going on, but we're not reducing the overall representation so much as we are rebalancing representation, and I think that's a very different thing and something that I don't think anybody is in favor of.
Okay, Chris, let me respond to that just to clarify. If we went to a 33% reduction across, then we wind up with the minimum number being two. So a Union or an Extended or a smaller campus is going to have those two minimum. You're suggesting that they have the two, they've got the two, they need to pick where those two go and not have the option to increase it from 33% to a higher percentage. Is that correct?
I'm not suggesting that. I am suggesting that leaving them the option to bring three while requiring Lancaster to only bring six is rebalancing representation.
Okay.
Please. Just in the spirit of discussion, can I ask, are representatives from Union and Extended University, would you guys be comfortable, instead of having two or three, just having two?
Let's go to Patrick Saucier.
Patrick Saucier, Extended University. Yeah, I'm not sure that if we reduce it, then would we need the student count to get a third senator? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, then I would. I think Extended University would be against that. We would want a minimum. We would want three.
Okay.
We don't want to be reduced to two.
Shelly
Jones, Extended University. I agree as well.
Okay. Thank you. Representative from Union? Ellen?
I feel more comfortable having one per committee.
Okay. Okay, so what we wanted to do with this motion was to get the ball rolling and get us thinking about this, and it may be that what we need to do is take it to committee and tinker with these smaller problems. Let's see if we have further discussion. Chris?
I was just going to move to refer, if that sounded like what?
Let me see if there's further discussion, and then I will entertain that motion. I think that's probably where we were headed, and I'm content for that. Any further discussion regarding this motion as it stands? Okay, so Chris, are you moving to refer? Do we have a second for that? Okay, so we have Steve Bishop has seconded that motion to refer to, and where would we refer this to? I don't think it should come back to us.
My motion would have been to refer back to executive since executive created it in the first place.
Okay, but objections to it are mainly coming from the floor. I'm wondering if the Senate wouldn't feel more comfortable with one of the subcommittees looking it over again. We can definitely take it back if that is the that is your motion.
I would suggest rights and.
Well, I think that now that Chris has put that motion on the floor, we would want to vote on the motion to refer it back to executive committee, since there's no further discussion.
Well, now that we know what the motion is, do we need a second on the full motion?
It's Steve has seconded the motion to refer.
Just for referral, but okay. Not to refer specifically.
Steve, that's very good, Sam. Are you seconding the motion to go back to executive committee? Are you just seconding the motion to refer?
I was seconding the motion openly. I think you could go back to executive or to rights and responsibilities.
Okay, so we need, since Chris has made the motion, do we have a second to refer to executive committee again?
Second.
Okay, now we have a that was, there's a real surprise. Okay. So we've had a motion to refer the item back to executive committee. A little redundancy there, but you get the point. And no further discussion. Let's go ahead and take a vote. All in favor of this motion returning to executive committee, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, I believe the ayes had that. Can we do a standing vote this time? All in favor of it coming back to executive committee, please stand. Those of you who can count, help me count. No, the alternative is that somebody's going to refer it to a different committee. Okay, that's 10 coming back to executive committee. That's 11. Okay, I'd say that they have it. All opposed, please stand. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Okay, the ayes have that. That one comes back to executive committee, and God help us all. All right? Okay, thank you. I think, Andy, are you done?
I got more stuff coming later.
Okay, you gonna stick around?
Okay, what's next?
I think there is no further unfinished business, is that correct? Okay, so under new business, we have the motion to make factual corrections to the PCCFM. You are correct.
Yep.
Now, let me just say that real quick that Dr. Nesmith was involved in these changes, and between the two of us, mainly, I say the two of us, but mainly Andy, we can probably field a lot of the questions, but if we have questions that need to go to Dr. Nesmith, he encouraged us to email those to him. And of course, this is going to change the manual. It would be a substantive change, so it is going to not be voted on until next time anyway. Right? So there is time to ask Chris questions via email if you need to.
Thanks. Most of these originated from HR pointing out false things in the manual, for this first motion at least. So a number of points in the manual intended to be informative are out of date. This motion is a collection of such corrections. This could be separated into separate motions, but I thought none of these were substantive. I didn't think any of these would generate discussion, so I lumped them all together. We can split them out if any of these is contentious. So can we scroll down to this first entry is terms of employment. And we have, keep going. This is missing. Can you hit? Can we click on review at the top and show, there's supposed to be more stuff that's underlined to show the differences. Show markup, is that the thing that's missing?
Do you need to go back there and mess with it? Go back there and
fix it. Yeah, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, go back there and fix it. What's the phrase? The Senate may stand at ease? You may stand at ease. Patrick, are you standing at ease?
I'm slouching at ease.
You're slouching at ease. Even better. Is there a motion for Ernest Jenkins to come up and do impressions?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Ernest, who do you want to do? You think? Oh, you can do an impression. Oh, I can do an impression of any. Not on the spot, I can't. I only do it in mockery. Don't put that on the minutes. Gentle mockery, affectionate mockery.
So the first change is regarding an item in the manual that gets a lot of confusion. There was an entry that said, all faculty are entitled to teach 2 summer sessions, getting 15% of their salary. And then after that paragraph, it said, but if you were hired after 1973, it works differently. And that was in a completely separate paragraph, and everybody's always misreading the first paragraph and not the second that says it doesn't apply to them. This first one rewords it to make it more clear that this applies to faculty hired before 1973. They may teach in. Also, we're deleting reference to the existence of 2 summer sessions. And it's now saying any of the summer sessions. There are more than 2 now. And then for faculty hired after 1973, faculty may be compensated during the summer and outside of the base period of employment. This is language from HR that describes the way our contracts work. Compensation for teaching during the summer may not exceed 40% of the faculty members annualized subject to the teaching load, blah, blah, blah. Can we scroll down to the next paragraph there? Faculty members requesting summer teaching must advise their dean before December 1st of the desire to teach during summer school. This includes new language about the way summer teaching works now, and it makes more clear that the way it works for faculty hired before 1973 only applies to faculty hired before 1973. Can we scroll down to the second change? Recommendations for increases in salary for Palmetto College campus faculty are, it used to say, they were reviewed by the Office of the Palmetto College Chancellor as well as the Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost. It no longer goes past the Chancellor, so that is deleted. The word favorable is deleted. I think that's just a cosmetic change. Under change of grades, can we go back up to the whole change of grades one? We used to have a very short thing that said, in case of error in reporting final grades, the instructor shall complete the change of grade form, submit it to the faculty of the appropriate campus for approval. Has any faculty reviewed a change of grade in the last 10 years? I have never seen that at a faculty meeting. So that's gone, and a longer description of the proper procedure is, grade change is based on transcription or computation errors. Go to the office of the registrar. For courses offered across multiple campuses, signed grade change forms will then be forwarded to the Office of the Associate Provost for Palmetto College for approval. So a local course campus happens on campus there. If it's something that's taught across campuses, it needs to go through Associate Provost for Palmetto College for approval. A request for a grade change must be submitted by the instructor no later than 1 calendar year, exceptional circumstances. And then some technical stuff that, any other grade change request resulting from enrollment discrepancies or perceived administrative errors must be submitted to the appropriate forms with signatures of documentation to the Students' College for review through the petition procedure. This does not apply to routine makeup and extension of an I and posting a permanent grade to replace the NR. That happens without going through this procedure. Special makeup work already recorded are not permitted. So that's changing this is correcting and clarifying the procedure for a change of grade. Appointment procedure is the next section to change. This is cutting a big chunk of stuff and just replacing it with, we comply with university policy ACAF 1.00, which talks about appointment procedures. It is very long and detailed. This includes a big chunk of the HR stuff about affirmative action and hiring policies and procedures and stuff that I don't think we want to put into the manual, or if we did, it would be a massive appendix all by itself. And I think this changes pretty frequently. This is constantly updated, so we just want to leave a reference to ACAF 1.00. You can tell it's an important one because it's 1.00. Mm-hmm. Can we get to the next one? And then relation of research to teaching duties. There's a thing in the manual that says faculty members who received a reduction in teaching in order to conduct research or perform other university duties shall be permitted only with the approval of their dean, the Palmetto College Chancellor, and the Provost to teach courses in the Division of Extended University for additional compensation. I never heard of that happening. Anyone heard of that happening? This seems to not be true. So we're cutting that. And those are all the changes.
Okay, so and I will remind you that these will be posted. If they are not, in fact, already, they will be very shortly. And so you will have plenty of time to look these over because they changed the manual. Of course, we won't vote on them today. Do we have discussion about them today? Any discussion? Sam Downs.
Did I hear you say that ACAF 1.00 is not a static document, but it's changed? So in essence, we would be referring people to a document that we may or may not know what's included in it, depending on how much it's been changed since we last looked at it?
That document, when it changes, does not go through us for approval, so yes. But that document is the correct place to look for hiring policies and procedures. So whether it's referenced in our manual or not, it is the final law on what you need to do for a hire to go through.
So Sam, just to clarify, are you asking would we possibly need to change the version number or something at some later date?
No, I was wondering whether we should be referring to a document that is changed continuously.
Okay.
But as you say, this is just the way
he answers your question.
This is just the law.
Right. Hiring
policies.
We don't really get to write our own hiring policies.
Okay, I had
someone. Regardless of what's in our manual.
I'm coming to you in a second, Chris. Somebody over here had a hand up. Yes, Caltrin.
Suggestion.
Yes.
Instead of saying an I, maybe say agreed upon.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to make the procedure is, so I'll probably fold that into the next version.
Thank you, Andrew. You understood that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, if you change your grade to an I, let's instead say change your grade to a grade of I.
Okay.
Not leave I.
That's a teeny-weeny. Very good. Okay. Chris Bundrick.
Just to speak to Sam's concern about ACAD 1.0,
yeah.
I think the value of referencing this changing document is that if we put the details of what's in that document in our manual, and then that document changes, and we are then obligated to go through the not easy process of changing our manual to reflect what's in that document, whereas if we simply refer to the document, then our manual stays current no matter what. And it's just the real value. We have to refer back to that document either way.
Fair enough. Thank you, Chris. Suzanne.
Danielle Lancaster. I'd like to see that last change you were recommending one more time. What about teaching at Extended University? That one.
It says faculty members who have received a reduction in teaching in order to conduct research or perform other university duties shall be permitted only with the approval of their dean, the Palmetto College Chancellor, and the Provost to teach courses in extended university for extra compensation. I'm not really clear on what this is saying. I'm not sure if it's guaranteeing us the right to do that as an overload, or if it's saying you're only allowed to do that for an overload with the approval of these people. But
when you mentioned this, and I'm glad you brought it up, this has been an issue on campus, and I can't speak to it, but I encourage you to talk to their president, my academic dean. That has provided guidance to us recently on our campus.
Is it a thing that has happened?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael.
I will be able to speak more informally next time, Michael.
I think you're doing great. We just have to have some discussion. Any further discussion about this. Yes, Patrick.
Patrick Susser from Extended University. I want to know why Extended University is single. I mean, why can't you also say that about, you know, you can't do class and union either without the professional permission?
Well, why it sounds like this is saying faculty from other, like a Lancaster faculty member could get an extra course at Extended University.
That's what it sounds like.
But they can only do it with permission. And I don't know whether this is saying you can do it or you can only do it with permission.
So the Lancaster faculty member, they can go to Sumter and none of this applies and get a, I mean, why single one campus out of, aren't we equals? Or?
I think that Andy and Chris's assumption was that this was never an issue. Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't. So now that I did not know it happened. Sure. It happened, so I will.
The issue in our case was that they had a, I believe it was a professorship, and had a course reduction, and then the question became, well, can you go teach elsewhere? And it wasn't specifically Extended University, if I remember right. And it was, well, you have a course reduction for a reason. To do other work, not to go fill it up with additional teaching somewhere else. That's sort of how it played out for us.
So if we keep it, maybe it should be any Palmetto College campus, not just a one.
That still leaves me the question of, is this paragraph saying you can do it, or is this paragraph saying you can only do it with permission, right? And I don't know which of those should be the policy, or...
I'm only concerned about why it's Extended University and only applies to Extended University.
Did Extended University used to be the idea that that would include all the online courses? So this is a chance to teach an online course as an overload? Is that possibly what this means? Yeah.
Steve Lowe.
Lowe, Palmetto College and elsewhere. if I had to guess, and this is before my time, but it may refer not only to Extended University as we currently know it, but to the evening college program that used to be part of the City University. Okay. So it may be archaic, although the new wording could still be applicable, as Patrick was pointing out.
Thank you, Steve. Then what we may want to do then is research that one and possibly split that one off.
Okay. We can wait till next time and figure out.
Yeah, so we will probably post the rest of this.
Then. Let's post the whole thing, and next time when we show up, I'll come armed with a motion to separate this as a separate thing.
Okay.
We want to be ready to do that.
Okay, because it sounds like that's where most of the controversy is. There's controversy. It's right now. It's misunderstanding. I wouldn't call it controversy.
Yeah.
Further discussion. Okay. Would you like to present the next?
Okay. The second motion
is the motion to.
End all motions.
It is not that. The motion to remove Executive Vice Chancellor and Vice Provost. This was Chris Plyler's old position title. It looks like we are not going to be hiring another Executive Vice Chancellor and Vice Provost, so this motion addresses language in the manual that no longer describes an existing administrative position, but is still used in many places. These changes also include an attempt to simplify the relationship between this document and administration. Mainly, instead of specifying who does what, it will change some phrases to the chancellor or designee so that the administrators have autonomy in deciding who gets what to do. And that will presumably accommodate roles as they change in the future. The revisions delete occurrences with the phrase executive vice chancellor and vice provost and replace them either with chancellor or designee. Most notably, this is a big deal, it removes a layer from the procedures for tenure and promotion. Additionally, there are some places where the specified duties of the vice chancellor of or the associate provost are just changed to chancellor or designee. I think the idea is now that the title vice chancellor is no longer specifically referenced anywhere in the manual. That will always be chancellor or designee, so that if that position changes, the manual is already ready for that. The biggest change I put at the top, the current tenure file chart says that section 15F, executive vice chancellor and vice provost letter, is deleted. On the next section, later on page 21, apart from material added by these people, the executive vice chancellor and vice provost is removed from the list of people who are added, who are allowed to add stuff to the file. And then later, files will be reviewed by just the Palmetto College chancellor, the provost, and the president. We're deleting the executive vice chancellor and vice provost. My understanding is at the last batch of tenure files, the administrators had to consult with legal because the manual says it will be reviewed by a person with this position. They had to get clearance from legal to be allowed to, you know, just skip that step. The alternative, which to me is a nightmare, is to temporarily appoint somebody to have this position only to review the tenure files very briefly, which I think we do not want to be the thing that happens ever. So I'd rather delete it than risk that ever happening. Moving on, we just delete the mention of executive vice. So under functions, the Palmetto College campus's faculty shall be consulted on the appointment of, remove the executive vice chancellor and vice provost there and add associate vice chancellors or the associate provost. There's only one vice chancellor right now, but in the event that there are more someday, the language is prepared. This committee advises, instead of later in the description of the Palmetto College Faculty Advisory Committee, instead of advising the associate provost for Palmetto College, that's chancellor or designee. I think when you make this change, we've removed the last example of associate provost for Palmetto College being mentioned in the manual. So if that title changes in the future, the manual is ready. From page 3, still in the same description, 3 faculty members, instead of being appointed by the provost, they're appointed by chancellor or designee. Senate members, vice chancellors and the associate provost, but not the executive vice chancellor and vice provost, are ex officio members of the Senate. Page 6, Palmetto College campus's representative to the RPS committee will also be a member, the Palmetto College chancellor or designee, instead of executive vice chancellor and vice provost. So this is replacing that member from the RPS committee by being a, instead of the executive vice chancellor, it's the chancellor or designee. The section on third year review, same deal as the section on tenure. Instead of saying you can get a letter from in the list of administrators, you could ask to look at your third year review file. The executive vice chancellor and vice provost has been removed. Moving on to the next one. Same deal. This is the list of people who have reviewed third year review files. Oh, wait, no, this is TMP files, deleting the executive vice chancellor and vice provost. Page 17, same thing for post tenure review. Page 26. This is the description of how to appoint members to a local TNP committee if a campus does not have enough members, deleting executive vice chancellor and vice provost and replacing it with Palmetto College chancellor or designee as who consults in the appointment of people. Page 83, the executive vice chancellor of Palmetto College also assumes an appointment as vice provost and serves on the Council of Academic Deans. That's now just the chancellor or designee. The list of voting members includes these people, but not vice chancellors, the associate provost, and no longer includes the executive vice chancellor or vice provost. And that's it. The big change is removing the layer from tenure, which I think is the safer change, and then also many other smaller places.
Thank you, Andy. Any discussion? Sam Downs.
In terms of change from what happens this past year, no change at all. In terms of change from what happened 5 years ago, Plyler used to sign off on our files. He does not anymore.
That's it. That's the
end. Yeah. You can also no longer ask Plyler to look at your third year review. There's a section that says you're allowed to ask people.
We are kind
for
of
letters.
You're kind of de-Plylering the is what we're doing here.
Yeah, there was another motion to. This is like the continuation of. There was a big motion like this 2 or 3 years ago that added chancellor everywhere.
Correct.
So that's all these places that say Plyler and Elkins do these things. Now we're deleting Plyler. This is slow motion add and replace.
Shelley Jones.
Extended University.
Is there a reason why at some places it's called Palmetto College Chancellor and at some Chancellor of Palmetto College? I know that's nitpicky. I'm sorry.
There is not.
Okay.
So
perhaps standardizing.
Yes.
Well taken. Steve Bishop.
Sumter. And is this going to be ruled substantive? It seems.
It's a change to the manual, so it's automatically.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah. I don't have any say so on that one. Patrick, do you have a question?
No. Sorry. Okay. I was just adjusting my slides.
Okay.
Good adjustment.
Further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, thank you, Andy. Thank you for your hard work. Are there any announcements? Okay, I hear no announcements. Do we have a motion to adjourn? I'm sure we do. Okay, so moved and seconded. Please say aye if you approve.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.